God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
Good morning. It's lovely to be there with you at Duncan Road Church this morning, even though obviously I'm not actually there. I've always wanted to visit good friends there in Gordon and Penny, and I bring greetings to you, or I send greetings to you from Wales. Maybe in the future I can join you. One of the things I love about listening to other people speak is not only hearing from God through his word, but also I love to pick up good illustrations and things that I can use as well. And I love illustrating, and particularly with young people, it's important to do that, of all of us as well. But I remember one occasion trying to illustrate to them a verse from the book of Job. And it's a verse that says that some people have hope like a spider web thin. And so I'd made two blocks of concrete, mixed it. And one block was just concrete. The other one had an iron rod in it. And I got youngsters out the front and they were jumping up and down. Unfortunately, it didn't work. Basically, those blocks collapsed and they didn't work. But it didn't really matter, because they discovered that iron rod there. And the hope we have as Christians, the strength we have as Christians, is found in knowing a God who is strong. Psalm 46 has the title Psalm of Strength, or God of Strength, because we live in uncertain days. Days at times where people have worried and panicked. We don't know what the future holds. We have questions about tomorrow. Some of us are still shielding. Some of us are still self-isolating. Other of us are worried about work or making ends meet. We're worried about loved ones. We're dealing with issues of fear, and there's fear and anxiety and uncertainty all around us. The songwriter here in Psalm 46, the sons of Korah is the title there, their world also was failing. It was falling apart. It was, verse 2, it seemed to be toppling. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. I'm told John Wesley, when he, the great Methodist preacher, when he in 1750 experienced an earthquake, he quotes these verses. But as well as the uncertainty and all the shaking going on, it also says in this psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." We love that verse, don't we? I want to share three things with you about this and knowing that God is strong. Number one, God is in control. Notice what it says in verse 1. God, our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. And that verse I quoted, "Be still and know that I am God." God is in control of what happens. In Dunvin, as a fellowship, our church, we've been doing a series on the character and nature of God. And he's loving and gracious and kind and gentle and good. And we've been saying these are characteristics that we are called, if you're a follower of Jesus, to mirror within your lives, to become more gentle and gracious and so on. But there are some characteristics of God that we are unable to mirror. Let me give you an example. God is all powerful. He is all present, everywhere at once in time. He's all knowing. Put those together and you have this incredible truth that God is in control. Nothing takes him by surprise. He has not lost the plot, folks. You may be facing, and I may be facing, financial difficulties, or we're struggling, we're reeling because of bereavement within our family. There's a lady in our fellowship right now this week who is burying her sister. But it's such a comfort and a strength to know that he is your refuge and my refuge. He's in control. Now, some may question how, they say, how can a loving God allow this to happen? I've no time to look at the depth of such a question, but I'm reminded of two things within my own experience of God through his word. I'm reminded, number one, God is too great to make a mistake, and he's too loving to do anything cruel. Too great to make a mistake, too loving to do anything cruel. Philip Yancey wrote a book called Disappointment with God. And in it, he says this: a God wise enough to create me and the world I live in is wise enough to watch out for me. Let me say that again. A God wise enough to create me and the world I live in is wise enough to watch out for me. It's important to remember, isn't that? To remember that, isn't it? It's also important to remember that there's so much in our lives we can't control. And many of us hate, we all hate it, but some of us particularly hate being out of control in our lives when everything detailed and organized. We want to know what's ahead. But this psalm is teaching us that in the midst of all that's going on, including this present crisis, God is strong. God is in control. We love that hymn down here in Wales. I know you do too, I'm sure. In Christ alone my hope is found. And in it is that verse that says, Jesus commands my destiny. You see, ultimately, he says, I am God, verse 10. He is the Lord Almighty. He is the Lord of hosts. The next psalm, Psalm 47, verse 7 says, for God is the King of all the earth. Number one, you can know that God is strong. He is in control. Number two, he or God is with us. Verse 1 again says, an ever-present help in trouble. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. Verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. God is with us. A number of years ago, I was reading the Psalms, and as I read, I put a title. I'd read the Psalm and put a title of what struck me about God in that Psalm. And what a title I put for this one was just simply that point. God is with us. It's amazing to think about that. Despite our sinfulness, rebellion, and distance we have made with him, he constantly comes near. He says in the Old Testament, come, let us reason together, speaking to his people. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Korah, or the sons of Korah who wrote this, they knew in their history of the rebellion of their forefathers. And yet they knew God, he could say, God is with us. Think of that moment which we celebrate at Christmas when Mary looks down at that little baby and whispers that word, Emmanuel. God is with us. God has come. God becomes a human being. And in Jesus, our rebellion and our sin is dealt with. And he chooses to walk with us. The journey of faith you see all the way through the Bible. In it, you come across some characters. For example, Jacob, verse 7, the God of Jacob is our fortress. What's going on there? Jacob was a weak, stumbling person. It's before his name was changed to Israel. And he's running on one occasion away from his brother. He's messed up again in his life. He's cheated his brother. And he comes and he's lying on the ground in a desert and he has a dream and he sees a stairway to heaven. It wasn't Led Zeppelin that came up with that. And then he wakes up and says, God is in this place. And I didn't know it. God is here. He calls that place the house of God. God is here. I'm praying that some will listen not only this week but this morning and realize that the shaking in this world that is going on, the shaking of our lives, is to perhaps shake us to realize we cannot live our lives apart from God. You were made with a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. God is in this place. Louis Zamperini was an athlete who in the 1936 Olympics did incredibly well, but the war broke out and he ended up serving in the Pacific and his plane was shot down over that ocean. And he found himself on a life raft and barely alive. And attacked by sharks. And in it, he cries out to God. He said, God, if you're real, if you save me from this, I will serve you the rest of my days. Well, he gets out of that, ends up in a concentration camp. Eventually, he comes back to the States where his life is wrecked by drink as he tries to deal with all that's happened in his life. He gets married to Cynthia. Cynthia takes him along to a Billy Graham campaign and Billy Graham service, and his life is changed. God meets him and he discovers that God is real. He discovers, in the words of the New Testament, God is not far from any one of us, says Paul to a group of people in a place called Athens. You see, God is not at a distance. I used to sing when I was younger, he's only a prayer away. You see, Cliff Richard and Bette Midler, sorry guys, they got it wrong. He's not at a distance. He's here with us in this. He's here with us right now. God is in control. God is with us. My third point is almost the same, but it's slightly different. God is with us. I want to emphasize that. In our experience, fear is real, isn't it? Anxiety. This natural, uncontrollable urge to worry and panic. What's a Christian response to fear? A Christian response to fear is to have faith. I want you to read some words found in Hebrews chapter 11. It defines what faith is. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the insurance about what we do not see. Confidence in what we hope for. It's about looking ahead. That's what hope's about, isn't it? It's future oriented. We can be confident. God is in control. God is with us. God is with us. It's that assurance also about what we do not see. We're looking beyond the outward and our experiences right now. Faith looks ahead. It gives us assurance. It gives us assurance because we know through the Bible, we know the end of the story. Everything will be made right. Even the darkest moments. J.R. Tolkien, in the book The Return of the King, writes these words. He's speaking about Sam, one of the ones who are walking with Frodo, and that ring. And he quotes this. Tolkien says, "There, peeping among the cloud rack, above a dark tor, high up in the mountain, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only small and a passing thing. There was light, high beauty forever beyond its reach. Beyond the reach of darkness, light overcomes. That confidence to look ahead beyond, that this world is not all there is. To realize that I'm a child of God. I was doing some photographs the other day, just scanning them. Oh, when I came across one of a friend called Jay Anand. Jay Anand has a guy with a lot of mental illness within his experience and life. And I remember doing a Bible study once with him in the back of a truck. And we came across a verse where it says, "My name is engraved on his hands." And he said, "Brother, this is wonderful." He said, "This is simply I am knowing that God has my photograph in his hand." And he got it. Got it more than me, really. God delights in him and his faith was strengthened. Faith is made real by prayer and worship when we enjoy God. Be still and know that I am God. Darlene Diebler was a young lady who, with her husband, went to serve God in the Philippines during the Second World War and then was incarcerated in a concentration camp. Her husband in one concentration camp and herself in another. They'd only been married, as I said, a short time. Then news comes that her husband had died in the other concentration camp. He died 6 months before. Imagine hearing that news. And she said she went there into the place where she was sleeping with the other women. And it was incredibly quiet that night. And she said she spread it out all before the Lord. The pain, the heartache. In the middle of it all, in the quietness of that place, on her cot, on her bunk, she felt God's Spirit come and pierce her heart with peace, just like that light that Sam saw deep within her heart. Jesus says these words, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me." You and I need to choose not panic or fear or anxiety, but choose peace. That great hymn by Horatio Spafford, who had experienced such pain and loss. When peace like a river attendeth my way, like sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say it is well with my soul. You see, hope is that, listen to this, hope is that confident anticipation that goodness is coming. I'll say that again. Hope is that confident anticipation that goodness is coming. And it anchors our soul. That's what the Hebrew writer says to the letter called Hebrews. We have hope as an anchor. Goodness, anticipation, it's coming. I want to give you two takeaways as we close. Number one, I want us to learn again what it is to be still. Our schedules have all changed, and in the coming weeks they'll change again. But let's learn from the past 13, 14 weeks. Those sabbatical rests, even though some of us have been working really, really hard, it's changed our schedule. Remind us, make space to be still and know that I am God. That's where your strength's going to come from. Be still. Secondly, reach out to your neighbours, that they would have that experience. The psalmist wants the nations to know that God is in. I will be exalted, says God. Be still, I know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. You know, we have in these days a greater sense of community. We smile at people. I did it this morning. Other people were walking their dogs. And we wouldn't have done it as much as we're doing it now. Use those moments. Jesus himself came from the Father to show the nature of God to us. Now he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Now it's our turn. I'm the King of the earth, he says. I'll be exalted among the nations. Be part of that. I'm going to end with this thought. There's a popular quote. We're not even sure if Spurgeon said this. And I'll get to the popular quote in just a second. But in his sermon, A Happy Christian, this is what Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, once said. The worldling, the person of the world, blesses God while he gives him plenty. But the Christian blesses him when he smites him. He believes he is too wise to err and too good to be unkind. He trusts him where he cannot trace him. He looks up to him in the darkest hour and believes all is well. I'll say that again. He believes him to be too wise to err and too good to be unkind. He trusts him where he cannot trace him. He looks up to him in the darkest hour and believes all is well. Someone took those words and summarized it in a song. And you may have heard this quote, but this is where it came from. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. And when you cannot trace his hand, you can always trace his heart. Be good. Be still, sorry. And know I am God. I'm too good to be unkind. You may not be able to trace my hand, but you can always trace my heart. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Or maybe you want to read it like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely into perspective in the light of his glory and grace. You know, there's a new hymn that's come out by the Gettys that goes like this. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone. Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong. Who holds our days within his hand? What comes apart from his command? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength. God is in control. An ever-present help in trouble. God is with us, and God is with us. Christ, our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good. God is good. Where is his grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood. Who holds our faith when fears arise? Who stands above the stormy trial? Who sends the waves that bring us nigh and to the shore, the rock of Christ? Isn't that great to know that in our experience? In life or death, he is our hope. And to the grave, says Getty, what shall we sing? Christ, he lives. Christ, he lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed. And we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Be still and know that I am God. May you know that in your experience. May you know what it is to walk on a journey to him and then to journey with him in your life and experience, because God is strong and God is good. Let's pray. Father, we've taken time to be quiet and slow down this morning and take on board those words that were sung all those ancient years ago. Be still and know that you are God. You're our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Lord, I pray that you will cause this morning, through your word and by the power of your spirit, to cause faith to arise and hope, that anticipation of your goodness both in this life and in the life to come, and trust you for whatever lies ahead. We may not be able to trace your hand, but we know your heart. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace today. Amen.